Today I want to talk about a superhero. And I have a challenge for the young people and the artists to... I'm going the wrong direction, I think. For the young people and the people who are artistic to come up with a drawing, because we're going to talk about who is Jesus. And I'm going to talk about it today and then also in October three times. And then if I haven't finished with the Gospel of Mark, when we start again in January, I will continue on. Now, I know you have been going through the Gospel of John, and you may think, well, why are we duplicating that by the Gospel of Mark? But they are so different, as you will see in a moment. Right? And I ask the question, who is this? Because this is a question that will come again and again in the Gospel of Mark, right? But I want to introduce him as, okay, this is my challenge. So one of my favorite Marvel comics is Spider-Man, right? Unlike John, well, unlike Matthew and Luke, which has the beginning, like the birth scene of Jesus, which we read during Christmas time, Mark doesn't have a birth scene. He immediately begins Jesus as an adult, as a minister. And that's the reason I call it a superhero, because we don't get to hear his birth, like with the story of the Spider-Man. It's a young adult who gets bitten by a spider, and as a result, he has superpower. In some way, Gospel of Mark presents Jesus in that way. Not that that's all true of Jesus. We have the Gospel of Matthew and Gospel of Luke to talk about his birth scenes. But when we come to the Gospel of Mark, he comes out as a superhero who comes. And guess what his power is? And I'm going to give you a word, and these are all things that you can use in this brand new diagram that you're going to come up with. And there will be a winner, and we will have a prize, right? And his superpower is compassion. And now, you can write compassion, or you're going to see the Greek word, and that, I think, matches. Splagnizo. Okay, Splagnizo. Now, when I was a kid, I used to read a lot of cartoons, and there were one guy called Phantom, and I used to like him, but there would be always like, dushum, dushum, pow, right? Our superhero's power is Splagnizo, right? Compassion. And we will see in all the stories that we would see in the Gospel of Mark, his compassion. His Splagnizo, right? And that's what we want to see. But there are a couple of things I want to introduce us with. What is Mark's purpose? Mark's purpose is much different than John's purpose. We read John's purpose in John chapter 21, where he says, I have written all these things that you may believe Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing you may have eternal life. In some way, Mark has the same. But Mark is speaking possibly in Rome, where they did call their leader, who is a Caesar, a son of God. A little bit like in Egypt, they called Pharaoh son of Re God, son of one of their deity. In the same way, emperor was considered son of God. And you are in an emperor's territory, and there you are saying Jesus is the true Son of God. Now, that could be dangerous, right? It's a little bit like being in a country where you have a ruler, and you say, well, the ruler is not the real ruler. You guys saw that last couple of years when Biden and Trump were elected. Some people would say, he is not my president, you know? I'm surprised that theme hasn't come up yet, but possibly it will after November, right? The same way the Christians in Rome are saying, Emperor Caesar is not the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God. That's the purpose. Now, that would come up with danger, right? You could lose your life. And by the time Mark finishes this gospel, Many of them lost their lives, including Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, right? So they have lost their lives as a result of claiming that Jesus is the Son of God. But what is so cool about Mark's gospel is its structure. What he does is call it the triplets and also sandwich-like structures, which you will see in a moment, right? Triplets is he likes to put three stories together. But the structure is, it's like a nice sandwich where you have two pieces of bread, and then right in the middle, you have a nice meat. If it is meat, it's just meat. If it's Lordy, maybe guacamole, right? Yeah, where it's a nice sandwich, two pieces at the end and something in the middle. The same way what Mark would do is he would put three stories together. All three stories have one common theme. But the first story and the third story would have a lot more similarities than the middle story. And so we come to a story which are all connected. This is called today's triplets, meaning the things that we're going to look at today. Again, three stories, and there are something commonality between these three stories, but story one and story three are very different. So it's the clean and unclean triplets that we are looking at today. Right? And the three stories of healing of a person with an unclean spirit, that's the first story. And the second story is healing of Peter's mother-in-law with the fever. And the third story is healing of a leper. Now you can see the first and third are two men, and the one in the middle is a lady. And the first and third are, again, dealing with unclean spirit or untouchable like a leper. But the middle one is dealing with a lady and a fever, and we'll talk about why that is a significant unclean thing in that culture. When I was growing up, I had a very good friend. His name is Reggie. Sadly, I lost touch with him. Maybe I could go someday on Facebook and search for him. Reggie and I were inseparable. We went to the same school. We would leave after the school is over. We both had the similar bicycles. We would ride for hours at one, you know, all through the evening. We would hang out either in his yard or we would hang out in my yard. And there were a couple of things that happened back then that I had no clue. Only later in life, I understood what was happening. For example, we would once in a while get very hungry, and we would go to a restaurant, and my favorite Indian snack is called vadai, which is a crunchy lentil, right? And we both loved vadai, and we both loved tea along with vadai. And Reggie would always say to me, "You go get it." And I went and got it. I never knew why he never went in to get the vadai or the coffee, and I always did. The same way, whenever I would bring him to my house, Mom would say, "Play outside, I will bring you snacks." Or when I go to his house, his mom would say, "Play outside, I will bring you snacks." We never put that I never put that together. Why? Only later in life I realized I'm a different caste than Reggie is. And Reggie in India is from a caste called Dalits, who are called untouchable people. And as an untouchable person, he could never go into a restaurant and get vada, so he always sent me. Now, I didn't know. Praise God that I was not prejudiced back then or even now. I loved Reggie. We played together. We played music together. That's all I knew. But we come across people, even in our society, we ourselves may feel at this moment we are untouchable. We may not use the word, we are untouchable. I'll tell you one of my untouchableness. I am 5'5", or 165 cm. And I always wish, since I was a little boy, I was 2 more inches taller. I don't know why 2 inches makes a difference, but I have a feeling that if I was 5'7", I would say, "Lord, I would like 5'9". You know, there's never any end to it, right? We all may feel somewhere we are somewhat slightly inadequate, untouchable, unclean. And if you feel that way, today's sermon is for you. But if you're perfectly clean, perfectly have no sadness in life, then you can sleep through the sermon, right? So here we come across three interesting stories of people who feel unclean in their society, and the Lord, the superhero, the one with compassion, the one with splangnitzo, say it with me, splangnitzo, comes and rescues them, right? So the first story. This is the healing of a man who is who has an evil spirit. So let me read the story to you. I'm going back and forth between NIV and the Greek text. As they were entering Capernaum, I'm on Mark 1:21. Immediately entering the Sabbath, he taught them in the synagogue. The people were amazed at his teaching, saying, "What kind of a power, exousia, he has, that not like our teachers that he teaches." And immediately in their midst, there stood a man with an unclean spirit, and he was screaming out, saying, "Why bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? We know you have come to destroy us. We know you are the Holy One of God." And Jesus hushed them, saying, "Hush, come out of him." And with a louder sound, the evil spirit came out of the man, even screaming. And he came out of the man. And all people were frightened, saying, "Who is this? What kind of a new teaching with authority, exousia, that even the spirit, unclean spirit, trembles and obeys him?" And the voice of him, or the message about him, went all through the region. So here he is, a man with an unclean spirit. We don't know. Modern day scientists are telling us there is no such thing as unclean spirit. This is probably some kind of a mental illness. And then some scholars say, no, this is truly an unclean spirit. If it is a mental illness, it's really difficult to explain, considering whatever it is talking to Jesus and then coming out of the man, and everyone can see. They're not dummy people back then. They could tell the difference between seeing an evil spirit or not seeing an evil spirit. But the people are so amazed that Jesus can command this evil spirit that's torturing him, and it comes out of him, and there's peace. Now here, even the name of the place, Capernaum, is a place of consolation, place of compassion, place of comfort, and that's where Jesus is and doing a powerful miracle where an unclean man with an unclean spirit is healed. Now, that statement, remember, I started by asking, who is Jesus? Who is this man? Right? And the unclean spirit says two things about Jesus, which is ironic, because they both are just the opposite in some ways. First, they say, Jesus of Nazareth. That, to you and me, sounds like a name. Yes, it is a name, but it is also an insult. If you remember when you studied through John, the people, Nathanael would say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? So to call somebody a Nazareth is like calling my friend Reggie an untouchable, a Dalit. The reason was very simple, a small prejudice among the Jews. Of all the prophets that came in the Old Testament, only one prophet came from Nazareth. The old name for that is Beth Hefer, right? The place where Jonah came from. Now, we all like Jonah. We tell the story of Jonah and the whale. And if you are a missionary, you would talk about the Jonah and rescuing the people. Well, the Hebrews did not like Jonah. You know what he did? He went to the enemies, he proclaimed salvation to the enemies, and as a result, the enemies repented, and so God did not destroy the enemies, the Assyrians, and as a result, the enemies came back and destroyed the Hebrews, right? So he's the only prophet that goes and rescues the enemies who come and hurt them. And as a result, they said, nothing good can come from Nazareth. Right? So on the one hand, the evil spirit is insulting Jesus as, hey, he's a Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, the place that nothing good comes out of. But on the other hand, he acknowledges him as the Holy One of God. In the book of Leviticus, only two things are considered holy: the temple of God, where God lives, and the people of God with whom he abides. Those are the two things that are considered holy ones of God. This unholy, unclean spirit recognizes Jesus as the holy person of God. On the one hand, he insults him by saying, you are a Nazarene. But on the other hand, he truly acknowledges him as one who is holy, a holy one of the Most High God. That brings us to the second story. Now, remember the sandwich structure. We had an unholy story. Now we have a second unholy story. And then we'll come to a third unholy story. But this is slightly different in the sense, first of all, there's a lady involved. And second, it is not in the synagogue. It is in somebody's home. There are so many similarities between one and three and difference between three. But this is Mark's structure of combining them together. So let's read the story again. This is in 129. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James, John, and Andrew, and Simon into Simon's mother-in-law's house, who was laying in bed with a fever. And they immediately told Jesus about her, and he went to her, took her by hand, helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on him. Scholars have debated, how is this an unclean story? We have very clear unclean spirit in the former story, and soon we will see the story of a leper, which in that culture was considered an untouchable or unclean person. But how does fever come in? There are two theories. One is somewhat graphic. They say the fever is a euphemism, a kinder way of talking about a lady in menstruation. And there are several examples from the Hebrew culture, and that would have been considered unholy at that time, at the time of that special period where there's supposed to be a way. And we have a story later on where there's a lady that has uncontrollable blood, and as such, she is afraid to even reach Jesus, but she knows if he touches the hem of his garment, she would become clean, and she ventures to do that, right? So possibly that is the case here. It's a euphemism for her lady time, or there is another passage very clearly in Deuteronomy 28, 22. Deuteronomy 28 is a long list of evil that will come upon the people if they disobey God's word. And there, one of the consequences of disobeying God's word is fever, right? Again, that may have been a euphemism, but whatever it is, in that particular culture, a lady who has fever, it's a little similar to us nowadays wearing a mask when we have a cold or a fever. In that particular culture, a lady that had, or a person that had fever was considered unclean and had to be away from everyone else. Well, they're all in Peter's mother-in-law's house, and they're all now contaminated. They're all infected with whatever she has, if it was an illness. But Jesus wasn't afraid of that. He walks up to her. Look at what the description said. He touches her. He picks her up. And immediately she becomes healed and she begins to wait on them. She begins to serve them, right? A compassionate, splagnizo superhero, right? He isn't made unclean by touching unclean spirit or unclean lady. Instead, the people that he touches become clean, right? Now, immediately, they bring a whole bunch of people, and he heals them all, chases away demons. Verse 32 and verse 34 talks about him casting out demons. And anyone that had any kind of illnesses, 33 and 34, talks about he heals them. And then he wants to have a little privacy, but Peter does not want him to come have that privacy. That brings us to the third story, and the third story is about a man that has leprosy. Let me start reading from verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, and he fell on his knees and begged him, "If you are willing, please heal me." Right? Read that again. "If you are willing, cleanse me, not heal me." Right? Because in that culture, a person who had leprosy, most scholars think this is some kind of a skin disease, that's pus and other things involved. And so anyone that had leprosy, not the modern-day leprosy where they lose their feelings, but this is something to do with pus involved. And so they were usually shunned off and asked to go outside of the city. They had to live outside of the city and can only come in once they are clean. Right? So this fellow isn't concerned about healing as much as cleansing, right? Because he's considered an unclean person that needs to be away from him. Jesus reached out with his hands and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses had commanded you as a testimony." Instead, the man went out and began to freely speak about the healing or the cleansing. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. As a result, now the clean person is inside the city, Jesus is outside of the city. Yet the people came to him to be healed. This is the third story where the fellow starts the story really well. He's a leper who is hurt, and he's been ostracized by the society. He wants cleansing. Just like a priest would declare a leper a cleansed person, he wants Jesus to heal him and declare him as a clean person. And here we have that word, splangnizome, right? Jesus has compassion on this person that's been ostracized by the society. And he touches him again. Look at our superhero who has compassion, and he reaches out and touches. Guys, I'm giving you all kinds of good clues to put in your superhero drawing. Yeah, and as because of his compassion, he reaches out and touches, and he says, "I am willing, be cleaned," and he becomes cleansed. But sadly, though, he disobeys the Lord. The Lord says, don't tell anyone. Instead, you go to the priest and tell the priest and let the priest examine you. That's how a person became clean in that society at that time. They had to go to the temple, wait outside. A priest would come, and they had to tell the priest, "I was leper, but now my leprosy is gone." And the priest would examine him all over. And then he would declare him clean. And after he or she is declared as clean, then they can go to the public. Then they could be in the society. But this fellow did not listen to anything that the Lord said. Instead, he went and spread the story about Jesus and his cleansing. And I can understand, he is happy, right? But in the process, he caused damage to Jesus' ministry. I want us to look at the lessons that we have learned today. Number one, Jesus heals three uncleanliness in this story that we see. A person who is spiritually unclean. Remember the first story, a man that had an evil spirit, and Jesus chases away the evil spirit and cleanses him. Then we saw a lady, Peter's mother-in-law, that is physically unclean. She's sick, and also she is somewhat untouchable in her culture. And then we come across a man who is physically ill, but he is more traumatized by what people called him, unclean, unclean. There are even stories that if the leper walks by, people will yell at him. I mean, the leper himself would yell shout and say, I'm unclean, and people would throw stones at him. We don't know how truthful that story is, but this was a fellow ostracized in the society, like my friend Reggie, right? Jesus heals all kinds of uncleanliness, spiritual, physical, or even emotional. The second lesson that we learn is that the miracles answers who Jesus is. We saw how the evil spirit called him Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, he is from Nazareth. If you remember the Christmas story, he was born in Bethlehem. Because the Herod was trying to kill him, he went down to Egypt. And when they came back, there was another Herod ruling. So they went and stayed in Nazareth of Galilee. So yes, he is from Nazareth, but in that culture, it also had a tint of insult. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yeah, I'm from a place called Nagercoil, and there are a group of people called Nagercoil Nodars. They are considered arrogant and proudful. Most of them are Christians. I'm one of them. So whenever I went to teach in India, they would say, are you a Nagercoil Nodar? Yeah? When I'm teaching in the southern part, of course not in the northern part, I would say, yes, but I'm not the same Nodar as you think. When I went to Philippines, I'm an Indian, and in Philippines apparently some Indians had robbed them, like charging them extra for 5 pesos that you borrow from them. You had to return them 6 pesos, and as such, Indians are called the 5-6ers. And I was a 5-6er. And I even had a lady at an office say to me, I don't serve people like you. And I said to her, a teacher or a missionary? She said, 5-6ers. I said, only if I were a 5-6er, my wife would be happy. I'm actually 5-4ers. Yeah? If people borrowed 5 pesos from me, I told them, give me 4 back, right? We have good names from places we are from. But at times, people can use that against us. I remember soon after 9/11, we just celebrated or remembered 9/11 last week. We were in a place in India, and people surrounded Lori and I asking, are you American? Are you American? And we can see anger in their face. God gave Lori great wisdom, and she said, I am from below Canada. They said, Canadians, we like Canadians. Yeah? Yes, Jesus is Nazarene, both good and bad, but he is also the Holy One of God. And what we see is that he also follows Moses' law. Remember, he said very clearly, I did not come to set aside law. I came to fulfill the law. Right? He was a holy man that followed the rules. We also keep seeing, and I hope you will hear more of this again and again, he is full of Splungnitzo. You can say it. Splungnitzo. Yeah? Splungnitzo me is when he is referring to himself. He's full of compassion, and he uses his physical touch to heal. Imagine a leper that have never been touched by other people, right? Ever since he received leprosy. But Jesus compassionately touches him. What brought me to the Lord was one of my teachers. I would walk down the hall in Memphis. I grew up in a Christian home, but I really didn't like Christians or Christianity. But Dr. Allman would always come next to me and touch me gently right here. It was his compassionate touch, even though I had a whole bunch of teachers, that led me to listen to him who led me to the Lord. Yeah, that is healing in good, careful, holy touch, which is what our superhero uses to heal and restore people. Finally, we see 3 kinds of reaction to how Jesus heals the people. The first story we heard, there was no reaction from the person that received the healing. Right? I mean, we hear about the demons going out of him, but we don't hear anything about the guy that had the evil spirit in him. First reaction is indifference. People who receive God's gifts, sometimes they just don't acknowledge him. They just don't thank him for what he had done. Second, you remember Peter's mother-in-law, she got up after she was healed. She immediately served them. The second reaction to Jesus' healing is servitude. And the third is hindrance. The third guy, Jesus said very clearly, don't tell anyone till you go and tell the priest. And he disobeyed. As a result of him disobeying, Jesus' ministry was hindered. Three reactions. Yeah, indifference to Jesus' healing, servitude because of his emotional, physical, and spiritual healing, and hindrance to him where we stop his ministry from spreading. So here are my questions for today. What's our attitude to Jesus in our lives? Do we have indifference to what he is doing in our lives? We live daily like nothing mattered. We don't count our blessings. Or do we have servitude in our hearts? We count our blessings. We thank him for the blessings that we have. And then we serve him. Or do we hinder his ministry? By our actions. You have heard so many Christian leaders. They are very famous. They bring so many people to the Lord. But then by one moment of pleasure, they do something so sinful, their entire ministry becomes a hindrance to people coming to Christ. What is our attitude to Jesus' work in our lives? Second, do we acknowledge his authority to heal us emotionally, physically, spiritually, and make us whole? Do we say to him, Lord, if you wish, if you are only willing, heal me? Do we cry out to him and say, emotionally I'm torn, physically I'm torn, spiritually I'm torn, help me? We have a superhero who is compassionate, splungnitzo, and he will heal us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a loving Lord we have. What a great friend we have. What an amazing Lord we have who is full of compassion, splungnitzo, who's willing to reach out and touch us in our emotional, spiritual, physical, mental, social uncleanliness. Help us to be humble and thankful and have the heart of servitude like Peter's mother-in-law. Help us to always faithfully serve you in whatever place that you have placed us and not hinder your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.